Welcome to this week's edition of Holy Apostles' Weekly Sermons.
Taken on human flesh to live among us. And therefore, whenever he speaks words to us, these are the words of God himself. And they bear the weight of the words of God himself. These are, if you will, new commandments. Right? We have recorded for us in the scriptures how in the law, Moses went up on Sinai and spoke to God face to face, and God gave him commandments. Well, now instead of a man going up onto a mountain and meeting God face to face, God comes down to man and meets him face to face and gives commandments. This is precisely what's happening in the incarnation. And so when we understand that Christ is teaching us, we should give full consideration to his words, because they are the words of God. And he teaches in this particular case, as he frequently does, in parables. And the parable concerns a certain rich man. And of course, wealth in ancient times was typically tied directly to land. If your land, if you had lots of land, that meant you could cultivate lots of land and you can bring lots of fruit out of the land and ultimately be well off, be sheltered from hunger and danger and insecurity and all those kinds of things. So he tells the parable of a rich man, a man who was already rich, and yet his ground brings forth plentifully, his lands, his property, his estates. He has a bumper crop. And the man begins to think within himself, what am I going to do? Because I don't have enough room for everything. Now, clearly the man himself cannot eat everything. But nevertheless, that thought doesn't occur to him. The thought that occurs to him is, what am I going to do to make sure that I have room for everything? I won't belabor the point, but if you read it, the parable at home, and look how many times the personal pronoun is used. I. Right? What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And then he says this to himself, this I will do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow my fruits and my goods. So you see the first person pronoun occur again and again and again. In other words, God is not his reference point. No, he doesn't even stop to give thanks to God that his grounds have brought forth plentifully. He immediately obsesses himself with the details of dealing with his wealth. And then after he's provided all those things, he says, I will say to my soul, speaking to his soul, thou hast laid up much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. So even now it's not a question of what shall I do with this. Now that I have more than I could possibly use, maybe I can give some alms to somebody else. But now it's, I've got it stored up. Therefore I will live luxuriously. And then the Lord says, but God said unto him, you fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and then whose shall those things be? Elsewhere the Lord says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his soul? What good are these possessions? What can they purchase? Paradise? Can they purchase salvation? Can all of our possessions purchase the goodwill of God? The problem the rich man has, and I dare say the problem that many people have, including, well, at least me, but probably some of you too, is that he fails to understand his correct relationship to God. And the correct relationship to God is not as a rich man, but as a steward. What does it mean to be a steward? We talk about stewardship in the church sometimes. I don't talk about it very often. But you always hear these words, stewardship, or being a steward, or being a good steward. What does that word mean? The steward in the ancient world was a servant, a trusted servant who was given jurisdiction over his lord's goods. But that didn't mean he got to do whatever he wanted. It meant that he was entrusted by the Lord with dispersing those goods in the way that the Lord desired those goods to be dispersed. So much of our language we have is actually based on this idea of service. And we've really kind of lost sight of it. We have Archbishop Alexander coming next weekend to visit us. Where does the English word bishop, where does it come from? It comes from the Greek word episkopos. What was an episkopos? An episkopos was a slave who was in charge of all the other slaves. That's what a bishop is. So much of our language is tied up in this understanding of service that we have to reclaim it and understand it so that we can understand our proper role and so that we don't fall into the same trap that the rich man falls into. You and I are stewards, which doesn't mean you know, we have stuff and that we should give some of it to the church and then we're good stewards. It means everything we have is entrusted to us by God, and therefore it's His and not ours. What did the scripture say? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything here was made by God, and everything here belongs to Him, including you and me. And we've been given, we've been entrusted with a small portion of it as a servant, not as a master, to disperse that portion according to the will of the master. God has allowed us to participate in His work by entrusting some portion of His goods to us and allowing us to disperse them according to His will, which is a blessing for us. This is what it means to be a steward. It's a fundamental understanding. It has less to do with what we do with our money than how we understand our relationship to God. The difference between, in this case, between the rich man and the steward is that he feels himself to be the master. And he fails to understand that he is, in fact, steward. Stewarding over someone else's goods. So when it comes to you and to me and our life, and we talk about stewardship, and I'm not going to talk about it in any kind of concrete terms. Obviously, we should give to the church. Obviously, we should give to the poor. Obviously, we should contribute to the building program, all of those things. But the critical element of all of it is to shift how we think about it. Not to think of ourselves as, I have my goods, and I'm going to differ from this rich man because I'm going to take some of my goods and I'm going to give them back to God. That's still wrong thinking. The correct thinking is, God has given me everything. And in gratitude, I will act to disperse everything according to God's will. And then we will understand that we are truly servants in the house of God. And God has blessed us to participate in His good work in this world. To God, the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be all glory, honor, and worship unto ages of ages.
Amen.